From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sanal with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry launches 2018 rogatory online monitoring website. Chief of the Supreme Court and Minister of Foreign Affairs signed an MOU on civil issues to improve public services. Indonesian National Resilience Institute or Lemhanas invites national components to be united in maintaining the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia NKRI. And now the news in detail. The Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry launched the Rogatory Online Monitoring 2018 or ROM 2018 website to recover the previous similar websites. The launching of the website is aimed at increasing public service quality in giving legal technical assistance in the civil issues. The website provides various information connected with the letter of rogatory and submission of judicial documents on new civil matters. This was said by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi to journalists after the signing of Memorandum of Understanding on the Handling Rogatory Letter and the Judicial Documents Request from the Foreign Courts to the Indonesian Courts and from the Indonesian Courts to the Foreign Courts at the Supreme Court Jakarta on Tuesday, February the 20th.
Dan tadi sebagaimana teman-teman ketahui bahwa pada hari ini juga sekaligus saya meluncurkan website.
As you know, I launched the Rogatory Online Monitor ROM 2018 website. The website contained the regulation information, form, and costs in other countries. So it is an informative web that is badly needed by Indonesian people. The web also contains rogatory and delivery of the court documents on civilian issues. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi moreover added there is 91% increase on the number of Indonesian community who have civilian problems abroad during 2017. Minister Retno Marsudi also said that all Indonesian representative offices abroad have handled more than 1,700 requests of handling the civil cases. The most cases are founded in Singapore, Malaysia, the United States, Hong Kong, and England. It was the natural consequence from the increasing of relations between Indonesian citizens and foreign citizens, both individual or legal institutions such as company. Therefore, there needs the strengthening of legal system and consular services so that the government can guarantee the legal rights of Indonesian citizens who are facing civil cases remain fulfilled. Chief Justice of the Indonesian Supreme Court M. Hatta Ali and Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi have signed a Memorandum of Understanding concerning legal assistance in civil issues. The Memorandum of Understanding includes some additional rules outlined in a joint decision and three cooperation agreements. This was stated by Minister Retno Marsudi after the signing of the MOU and cooperation at the Supreme Court Building Jakarta on Tuesday, February the 20th.
Mahkamah Agung menandatangani satu nota kesepahaman yaitu mengenai penanganan
The Supreme Court signed a memorandum of understanding on the handling of legal and civilian technical assistance, as well as a joint decision and three cooperation agreements. The joint decisions concerning the establishment of a team to handle legal technical assistance in civil matters, while the three cooperation agreements consisting of cooperation in the delivery of rogatory letters and judicial documents in civil matters, then standardized letter format cooperation agreements for orderly administration and educational and training cooperation for capacity building as the judge clerks and bailiffs. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi added that the MOU is actually updating a similar memorandum of understanding which has been agreed by both institutions in 2013. She also hoped that the signing of this agreement is expected to facilitate the transnational justice process in civil matters so that the benefit can be really felt by the Indonesian citizens. In addition, the MOU was signed to fill the legal vacuum in the field of mutual legal assistance in cross-border civil cases that have not been regulated. All national components of Indonesia are expected to increase unity to maintain the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. Indonesia must be a powerful state, it was stated by Governor of the National Resilience Institute, Lemhanas, Agus Wijoyo, to media on the sidelines of the opening of the 57th Regular Education Program in 2018 at Lemhanas Building in Jakarta on Tuesday, February the 20th.
Kita sudah melalui kesepakatan oleh para.
It has been established an agreement by founding fathers embedded in the nation's basic documents of the five basic principles Pancasila, the 1945 constitutions, the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia, and Bhinneka Tunggal Ika doctrines or unity in diversity. We do not need act outside the agreement. We can see other countries with their misery, and the destruction comes from our own weaknesses. Therefore, let us unify. We do not want to be divided. Related to the simultaneous regional heads election 2018 and presidential election 2019, Governor Agus Wijoyo explained, it is only a way to look for the competent leaders, but he said all national components must keep united after competing to choose their leaders. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Research Center for Oceanography of Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, will conduct a research on marine debris or marine waste in Indonesia. The waste is one of the complex problems faced by people who live near the coastal area. Head of the Institute's Oceanographic Center, Dr. Dirhamsyah, in Jakarta Tuesday, February 20th, after opening the Oceanography Science Week 2018, said that in various international environmental forums, Indonesia is often considered as the world's second largest producer of plastic waste in the world. He doubted whether Indonesia becomes the largest marine waste producer after China. According to Dirhamsyah, the assessment of various international forums has not been validated. It is only based on statistic data or sample. Therefore, the Institute will conduct a real research related to marine debris in Indonesia.
Kita harus bantu pemerintah ini menjelaskan kepada dunia.
We must help the government explaining to the world that it is not true. From a scientific context, it is acceptable. So we hope in 2019 we can get solution to prevent the number of waste volume, and we can also provide input what steps should be done, because we want to know the existence of the waste through our research. Dirhamsyah further explained, the study was conducted through a visit to the final dam to measure the volume of waste that run into the sea. The research will also produce data about the existence of the waste. Researcher of the Center for Oceanographic Research, LIPI, Reza Cordova, said that the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, will work with universities and NGOs to assess the number and character of waste in Indonesia. After that, the Institute will conduct a study on microplastic at the sea. The Indonesian Research Center for Oceanography of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, commemorates its 113th anniversary. With a long history, the LIPI Research Center for Oceanography has contributed to the national development, particularly in the field of marine science and technology. Head of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences Research Center for Oceanography, Dr. Dirhamsyah, on Tuesday, February 20th in Jakarta, after opening Oceanography Science Week 2018, said the center is targeting to build a national data center.
Kami berharap
Kami menjadi embrio dari yang
we hope to be an embryo from the National Oceanographic Data Center. During this time, Indonesia has not had a formal marine data center. We will start for that, and our target in 2019 or 2020, we will appear with a building which is specifically built for National Data Center. Dirham Shah further explained, in the year 2019, he also targets to have data of coral reefs and seaweed throughout Indonesia because so far there has not been a complete data about the status of coral reefs and seaweed in the country. The data is very useful not only for science but also for making a decision. The data can also be useful for policy making in the field of tourism, in effort of coral reef transplantation, and so forth. The Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, also has a very important physic oceanography data for marine safety. The National Anti-Narcotics Agency, BNN, has released news update of 1.375 tons of shabu worth 5 trillion rupiah by the International Narcotic Network in Batam, Riau Islands Province. The head of the agency, Commissioner General of Police, Budi Waseso in Jakarta, said disclosure of 1.375 ton shabu was done by synergy of mutual cooperation along with the Indonesian Navy.
Informasi yang awal kita dapat ini adalah jaringan ini informasi.
We get preliminary information related to this network from Chinese and Thai intelligence about the plan to send narcotics to Indonesia by ship. The ship has actually been detected by the agency and customs for 3 times, although the results of disclosure and searching was done by the Navy. Budi Waseso furthermore said, previously the National Anti-Narcotics Agency BNN has informed the Sunrise Blurry ship to the Navy, which was suspected of carrying drugs, where the ship often passed through the Indonesian waters to supply drugs to the country. He said that the agency arrested 4 suspects of Taiwanese citizens and still dismantled the shipload to know the mode of deception of international net drugs carrying carriers. Budi Waseso also expressed the suspicion of Sunrise Blurry ships from the peculiarities of the Taiwanese ship with the Singaporean flag as well as the type of fishing vessel, but they are not fish loads. The agency said the raw material of shabu were imported from Taiwan and processed in China. And the last item, 8 foreign companies have expressed their interest to list their shares at the Indonesian Stock Exchange IDX. The number is down from the bourse's previous announcement. In January, the IDX announced that 10 foreign companies plan to hold IPOs. IDX Director for Corporate Assessment Samsul Hidayat said the company is planning to go public operate overseas and in Indonesia. Some have listed their shares in overseas stock exchange. Samsul said in Jakarta on Wednesday, February 21st, there are 8 companies that have expressed interest. They come from with various sectors such as plantations, mining, retail, and others. According to the information received by IDX, most of these companies seek to hold their initial public offering for the purposes of restructuring, funding needs, and spreading their shares to the people of Indonesia. And listeners, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry launches 2018 rogatory online monitoring website. Chief of the Supreme Court and Minister of Foreign Affairs signed an MOU on civil issues to improve public services. Indonesian National Resilience Institute or Lemhanas invites national components to be united in maintaining the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. And listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, coming up next, here is about today's commentary entitled The Future of Ethiopia at the Post of Emergency Declaration. Listener, over the next 6 months, Ethiopia is declared in emergency status. The Ethiopian government has stipulated this due to the political crisis that has led to the resignation of Haile Mariam Desalegn, the prime minister of the country. The political crisis that also caused the emergency status occurred there in October 2016. Prime Minister Haile Mariam Desalegn resigned to reduce the ongoing political turmoil. Desalegn had previously freed opposition prisoners to dampen the situation, but the turmoil is still going on. Hundreds of people have been killed in the three-year unrest in the country. The 10-month emergency state that ended last year has also failed to stop the protest. And so did the release of thousands of opposition supporters from prison. A massive protest has been taking place since 2015. It starts from the Oromia region, then extends to Amara, Ethiopia's second-largest ethnic residence. The rally was accompanied by a physical clash between the two ethnic groups, causing casualties. The question then, will this second emergency status bring good for Ethiopia? In the meantime, after the emergency stipulation last week, the capital city, Addis Ababa, is in a relatively quiet state. The mass media reported that business and social activities in the nation's capital until yesterday were under normal circumstances. The defense ministry also did not add troops to the streets. Emergency status setting is done to quell the dispute and sporadic attacks in some areas. The government states that emergency situations are needed to mitigate the political turmoil that resulted in the emergence of ethnic violence. Given the emergency situation, the government has banned the existence of mass gatherings and in demonstrations in the wake of the political turmoil. The government's move was not approved by the United States, as stated by its embassy in Addis Ababa. Along with the establishment of an emergency, the Ethiopian parliament is expected to complete discussions on the steps to resolve the political conflict. Parliament to date is waiting whether the majority of the ruling party in the government succeeds in taking the expected political action. If a political settlement doesn't happen, it is not impossible that the turmoil will become increasingly widespread in the oldest country in Africa. If this happens, foreign interference is very likely to emerge. The U.S. Embassy in Addis Ababa, for example, assesses that the emergency setting has restricted the fundamental rights of citizens to express their opinions. Anyway, if the conflict cannot be resolved, it is Ethiopians who will be affected. And listener, that was commentary. Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an incident of Malcolm X, was killed on February 21, 1965. An African-American Muslim and human rights activist, Malcolm X, was killed while delivering a speech at an event of the United Afro-American Association in New York when returning from pilgrimage to Mecca. Malcolm was declared dead after being shot by three men. One shooter, a member of the Nation of Islam, was arrested. In the court, he claimed himself has become one of the shooters, but refused to identify any other shooters. We now have a look at another event about Luna 20 landed on the moon on February 21, 1972. Luna 20 is the second most successful mission from three spacecraft landing missions on the moon by the Soviet Union. Luna 20 entered the moon's orbit on February 18, 1972, and on February 18, 1972, and on February 21, 1972. Luna 20 landed on the moon in a mountainous area known as Terra Apollonius. On returning to the Earth on February 22, 1972, Luna 20 managed to carry 30 grams of sand samples on moon rocks collected in a sealed capsule. Luna 20 finally managed to land in the Soviet Union on February 25, 1972. Ended today's segment of Today in History with an event of the World Mother Language Day on February 21. The World Mother Language Day is celebrated every February 21st to raise awareness of linguistic, culture, and multilingualism. UNESCO adopted the World Mother Language Day on November 17, 1999, and was formally adopted in the United Nations General Assembly through a resolution published in 2008. The resolution was a proposal from Rafiqul Islam, a Bengali citizen living in Vancouver, Canada. He wrote to UN Secretary General Kofi Annan on January 9, 1998, in order to preserve all languages in the world at risk of extinction. He proposed the implementation of the International Mother Language Day every February 21, together with the Day of Commemoration of the Language Movement in Bangladesh to commemorate the Dalit demonstration in Dhaka. The World Mother Language Day is commemorated for the first time on February 21, 2000. Listener, that was Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello and welcome to My Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll talk about Indonesia-Singapore, strengthening investment cooperation and industry vocation. Indonesia and Singapore agreed to increase investment cooperation and vocational education, especially for the industrial sector. The condition will strengthen partnership between the two countries in order to complete enormous economic potential. This was stated by Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto in Jakarta on Sunday, February 18, in the ministry's release. The statement responded the meeting of Minister Erlangga Hartarto with Singaporean Foreign Minister Vivian Balakrishnan recently at the Ministry of Industry, Jakarta. Minister Erlangga moreover stated that Singapore is one of the neighboring countries that has a strategic role for the interests of Indonesia or the region. In the field of investment, the ministry has encouraged Singapore to continue the development of industrial parks in other regions of Indonesia, which has integrated concepts like Kendal Industrial Area in Central Java. Indonesia offers Tanah Kuning or Yellow Land in North Kalimantan, Kuala Tanjung in North Sumatra, and Bitung in North Sulawesi. Kendal Industrial Area, which was officially opened by Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong on November 14, 2016, is a joint project between Indonesian and Singaporean industrialists. The investment value in 2,700 hectares area reaches $360 million. Minister Erlangga said, until January 2018, Kendal Industrial Area has attracted 39 investors from Indonesia, Singapore, Malaysia, China, and Japan by absorbing nearly 2,000 workers. The companies run their businesses in furniture, food packaging, steel, label printing, and dolls industries. In addition to increased investment, Indonesia and Singapore also established a synergy in the development of human resources competency through vocational education, such as the development of polytechnic of furniture and wood processing industry in Kendal Industrial Estate. The industry is planned to open the acceptance of 96 new students for 3 study programs this year. The commitment of cooperation in the field of vocational education is also implemented through the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding between the Indonesian Minister of Industry with the Minister of Education of Singapore, technical arrangement between the Secretary General of the Ministry of Industry with the Director of Singaporean Institute of Technical Education, and collaborative agreement between the Head of Industrial Education and Training Center with ITE Education Services of Singapore. Furthermore, Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto said that 25 headmasters and teachers from vocational high school from Indonesia will attend leadership training in Singapore ITE campus. This leadership training workshop was held at the ITE Singapore campus from February 19 to March 3, 2018. The training participants consisted of productive teachers in the field of machinery, electrical power utilization techniques, and automotive industrial techniques. They come from vocational high school in Aceh Province, North Sumatra, West Sumatra, Riau, West Java, Central Java, Yogyakarta, and East Java. Listener, that was today's My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. The Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry launches the Rogatri Online Monitoring 2018, ROM 2018 website to recover the previous similar websites. The launching of the website is aimed at increasing public service quality and giving legal technical assistance in the civil issues. The website provides various information connected with the letter of rogatory and submission of judicial documents on new civil matters. Chief Justice of the Indonesian Supreme Court M. Hatta Ali and Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi have signed a Memorandum of Understanding concerning legal assistance in civil issues. The Memorandum of Understanding includes some additional rules outlined in a joint decision and 3 cooperation agreements. All national components of Indonesia are expected to increase unity to maintain the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. Indonesia must be a powerful state, it was stated by Governor of National Resilience Institute, Lemhanas Agus Wijoyo, to media on the sidelines of the opening of the 57th Regular Education Program in 2018 at Lemhanas Piling, Jakarta on Tuesday, February the 20th. Research Center for Oceanography of Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, will conduct research on marine debris or marine waste in Indonesia. The waste is one of the complex problems faced by people who live near the coastal area. Head of the Institute's Oceanographic Center, Dr. Dirhamsyah, in Jakarta, Tuesday, February 20th, after opening the Oceanography Science Week 2018, said that in various international environmental forums, Indonesia is often considered as the world's second largest producer of plastic waste in the world. The Indonesian Research Center for Oceanography of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, commemorates its 113th anniversary. With a long history, the Institute's Research Center for Oceanography has contributed to the national development, particularly in the field of marine science and technology. The National Anti-Narcotic Agency, BNN, has released news updates of 1.375 tons of shabu worth 5 trillion rupiah by the International Narcotics Network in Batam, Riau Islands Province. The head of the agency, Commissioner General of Police Budi Waseso in Jakarta, said that the disclosure of 1.375 ton shabu was done by synergy of mutual cooperation along with the Indonesian Navy. And the last item, 8 foreign companies have expressed their interest to list their shares at the Indonesian Stock Exchange IDX. The number is down from the bourse's previous announcement. In January, the IDX announced that 10 foreign companies plan to hold IPOs. IDX Director for Corporate Assessment Samsul Hidayat said the company is planning to go public operate overseas and in Indonesia. And listener, that was News in Brief.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of tourism destinations in Gorontalo province. Stay tuned. Listeners, Sulawesi Island offers endless natural beauty, namely beaches and sea, and without exception, Gorontalo province. In this province, you can find amazing panorama, namely Saron Island. The beauty of its nature is often paralleled with Maldives. Listeners, the beach on Saronde Island is so beautiful with clean white sand and clear blue water. It makes the beach often be paralleled with Maldives. On the beach, tourists can do many things. Besides exploring the beach, they can also enjoy snorkeling, and this will be an unforgettable experience. Because on Saronde Island's beach, there are a lot of colorful fishes which are swimming through exotic coral reefs. There are also water sports rides such as banana boat. Listeners, to visit Saronde Island, you do not have to worry to be starving because there are various kinds of foods which are sold by local people. They also sell unique crafts as souvenirs. On Saronde Island, tourists can set a tent for camping to enjoy the beauty of the beach longer. For tourists who want to stay at night, there is also a cottage. The fee to stay in the cottage is relatively cheap, around 150,000 per night. Listeners, Saronde Island is located at Kuandang Sub-District, North Gorontalo Regency. The island, with only 1 km wide, has a distance 65 km from Gorontalo City. From Gorontalo to Kuandang Seaport, it takes around 2 hours by car. From the seaport, the trip is continued by using speedboat, which can accommodate 10 people. The trip to Saronde Island takes around 15 minutes. Arriving at the island, tourists must pay entrance fee around 10,000 per person. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Saronde Island in Gorontalo province. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Ucapan Selamat, or in English, expression of congratulation. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about ucapan selamat, or in English, expression of congratulation. As usual, I say every sentence slowly, twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between A. Tony and B. Shopkeeper. Let's follow the conversation. Tony, ada banyak lampion. Ada banyak lampion in English. There are so many lanterns. Shopkeeper, ya, kami sedang merayakan tahun baru Imlek. Ya, kami sedang merayakan tahun baru Imlek. In English, yes, we are celebrating Lunar New Year. Tony, oh begitu. Selamat tahun baru Imlek, Pak. Oh begitu. Selamat tahun baru Imlek, Pak. In English, oh I see. Happy Lunar New Year, sir. Shopkeeper, terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English, thank you. After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Lampion. Lampion in English, lantern. Banyak lampion. Banyak lampion in English, many or a lot of lanterns. Selamat. Selamat in English, congratulations. Tahun baru Imlek. Tahun baru Imlek in English, Lunar New Year. Material. To express congratulations to someone, you can use the word selamat. For example, selamat tahun baru Imlek. If you want to say Happy New Year, you can say selamat tahun baru. If you want to say Happy Birthday, you can say selamat ulang tahun. And if you want to say Happy Mother's Day, you can say selamat hari ibu. Listener, to express congratulations, you can use the words selamat pagi, selamat siang, selamat malam. You also can use the word selamat to express congratulations. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We also hold monthly quiz with many interesting prizes. Until next week with other interesting topics, sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present an Indonesian top singer, Cakra Khan, and some of his famous songs. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Harus Terpisah by Cakra Khan.
Yang mulai berhenti. ku berlari, kau terdiam. Ku menangis, kau tersenyum. Ku berduka, kau bahagia. Ku pergi, kau kembali. Ku coba meraih mimpi, kau coba tuk hentikan mimpi. Memang kita takkan. Hilang tak kembali, kembali untuk mempertanyakan lagi cinta, cintamu yang mungkin, mungkin tak berarti, berarti untukku rindukan. Ku berlari, kau terdiam. Tersenyum, ku berduka, kau bahagia. Ku pergi, kau kembali. Ku coba meraih mimpi, kau coba tuk gantikan mimpi. Memang kita takkan menyatukan. Ini harusnya kita coba saling melupakan.
Listener, the song entitled Harus Terpisah tells about the story of a couple who are always contradictory. After going through various differences, finally the couple lover choose to be apart and forget each other. The song Harus Terpisah is the debut song of Cakrakan, which was released in 2012. Deep lyrics accompanied by a distinctive and powerful vocal also made Cakrakan begin to popular. However, before he was known as a pop singer, Cakrakan started his music career as a dangdut singer. In addition to dangdut, Cakrakan has also brought blues and rock music as a pop singer. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Setelah Kau Tiada by Cakrakan.
Takkan mungkin pernah ada. dalam kekeringan, namun tak pernah ku hiraukan semuanya. Hingga kini pun kau tiada, terlambat ku sadari kau teramat berarti. Terlambat ku kembali dan tuk menanti kesempatan kedua yang takkan mungkin pernah ada.
Listener, you've just listened to the song Setelah Kau Tiada by Chakra Khan. With the simple lyrics, the song tells about regret after separation. The feeling of love just come when it has already gone. The song Setelah Kau Tiada is part of an album entitled Chakra Khan. The album was the only album released by the singer with full name Chakra Konta Pariaman. In addition, Chakra Khan has released 8 singles. Most of the songs brought by Chakra Khan tells about the pain that can be appreciated by the audience because the songs are dedicated by interesting character of Chakra Khan's vocal. However, Chakra Khan admitted that he's not comfortable with a sad song, so that he always prepare the backup songs before going up on stage. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Kau Memilih Dia and Kekasih Bayangan by Chakra Khan. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Terima seluruh cinta seutuhnya. Darinya engkau dapatkan sedikit perhatian, namun yang kau pilih malah sebaliknya. Dariku kau dapatkan segala kasih penuh pengorbanan. Darinya engkau dapatkan cinta sementara, namun kenyataan kini kau dengannya. Tak perlu kau pulangkan lagi luka.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Bayangan untuk menemani cintaku di balik topeng persahabatanmu yang palsu. Kau jadikan aku kekasih bayangan untuk menemani saat kau merasa sepi. Bertahun lamanya jalani kisah cinta sendiri. Cinta sendiri.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOR. Today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.